You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This week's bits. The best news nuggets from Breakfast and The Wire from this week.
Atamaria, ko ana Ross Tokuingua, and welcome to this week's bit. Lately, our BFM reporters have been doing some really great local Auckland scene reports. These reports have been pretty unique and special, looking at the specific things happening around our town. Joel Thomas looked into the big blue bins we donate our clothes into to actually work out where these clothes go to. Harry Willis looked at the changing face of K Road as more retail spaces in St. Kevin's Arcade got announced for sale. First, let's hear what Joel found out. If you've ever wondered what happens to the clothes in the big blue bins with the Child Cancer Foundation logo on it, would you be surprised to learn the clothes get collected by Save Mart, where they then sell them to create profit, while a small slice of this profit then goes to charity? Joel looked into this situation.
Save Mart is part of the Textile Recycling Company, an organisation that has become the country's largest clothing recycling business, with over 35 clothing outlets nationwide. They give financial donations to the Child Cancer Foundation, as well as providing clothing on request for the clients' families who travel for treatment, as well as donating to several charities, including some in Papua New Guinea. They source their clothing from the big blue bins marked with the Child Cancer Foundation logo. I didn't know this until a couple of weeks ago, and it turns out that everything donated from these bins gets processed by Save Mart. The most high-quality stuff gets sold on the shop floor for profit, with a percentage given to the Child Cancer Foundation. The leftover clothes then get sent to Papua New Guinea. I contacted Tom Doonan, the owner of Save Mart, about the way clothing bins are operated and whether he thinks the labelling of clothing bins is misleading. He responded by saying this.
There is no organization, either charitable or commercial, where all of the proceeds could be used for charitable purposes. There are costs including wages, GST, bin cost, rent, rates, and insurance. A clothing bin business on its own is rarely viable. We operate ours as part of a large textile recycling operation, which includes new waste from manufacturers, imports, wool dumping and packing, export of wool waste, and purchases from other merchants and charities operating in the clothing and textile recycling industry. The amount that the charity projects receive is a substantial part of the profit from clothing bin collections. This year, we'll also be funding a nurse training and support project in Papua New Guinea, which will help children with cancer. The labelling on child cancer bins clearly states, the recycling project by the Textile Recycling Centre helps children with cancer. We could list all our charity projects on the bins, but these change on a regular basis and we'd have to do new labels every year, which would be difficult.
Save Mart do a large amount of community and charity work, but one of the problems we found is that many people seem to be misled by the clothing bins that they operate. They are labelled with the Child Cancer Foundation logos and say, this recycling project by the Textile Recycling Centre helps children with cancer. There's no mention of Save Mart or the for-profit nature of this business. I talked to several people around Auckland Uni about the clothing bins and their thoughts on them. Only one person out of six knew that the clothes went to Save Mart.
So you've donated to these bins before?
Yes, I have.
No, I have not donated to these bins before.
Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Where did you assume the clothes were going to?
To either salvos or poor people.
They would either go to the families of the children that needed them, or I guess to some sort of op shop.
To people who need them.
Don't they sell them at like Save Mart and then they like or donate to organisations or something?
What if I told you the clothes went to Save Mart, which is a for-profit business that in turn give a portion of their profits to the Child Cancer Foundation and other charities?
Hey.
Yeah. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I see that they give some. They give some to the Cancer Society, but they only give a portion of it,
yeah.
And they keep the rest of the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they expect people to buy it from them. That's kind of ratchet. Oh, I didn't know that. Because my family donates to them all the time. Because, yeah, we thought it was going to those who can't afford clothes.
Okay.
I'm raising my middle finger at Save Mart.
I guess it's pretty misleading.
It's not really the intended purpose of donating. So, not good.
It, you know, on the things, otherwise.
So they only give a
small portion.
It's catfishing.
That sucks.
For like money.
Catfishing, you dumber.
Catfishing us.
So there seems to be a trend where people feel misled by the bins. We also spoke to a former Save Mart employee who was electing to remain anonymous about her experience and thoughts on the clothing bins that Save Mart operate. Do you know roughly how much money your specific branch made each?
Monthly, I wouldn't be able to tell you. However, some of the people that I was quite close with were the supervisors who did the cashing up at night and stuff like that. And they would complain to me about certain things. On a good Saturday, our branch alone would bring in about 20,000. On an average Saturday, 15,000 to 18,000.
So you got this information from people that did the cashing up?
Yes.
Unused clothing gets sent to Papua New Guinea charities, is that correct?
Yes and no. If the manager decided that you'd done something wrong or she was just having a paranoid day, she would send you into the factory, and that was like the worst punishment. You don't want to be sorting those donation bales at all. People dump used needles, nappies, you name it, they put it in there. And anything that was stained, ripped, like just beyond sale in New Zealand, was thrown into the Papua New Guinea bale.
So even though Save Mart has donated over $3 million to Child Cancer Foundation since 1995, I asked the former employee whether she thinks the labelling on the bins is misleading.
Personally, I do. As I said, our one branch on a good Saturday can do 20,000. Just if you just do the maths.
Save Mart is an organization that donates substantial amounts to several charities, including the Child Cancer Foundation, who say Save Mart stores provide substantial ongoing financial support for the overheads of the foundation. They process an immense amount of secondhand clothing to do this, preventing the clothes from going to waste. Although being a for-profit business is certainly not an inherently bad thing, people do seem to be misled by the bins that Save Mart get their clothes from, and there could be more transparency surrounding this. Joel Thomas, BFM News.
As more retail spaces went up for sale in St. Kevin's Arcade this week, Karanga Happy Road continues to spruce up in preparation for the City Rail link. Harry Willis spoke to St. Kevin Arcade alumnus Search and Destroy's Alison Reid on why the secondhand store has moved out and her thoughts on the changing face of K Road.
So this shop has a very large history on K Road, and I mean, apart from Vixen, this is probably the second longest secondhand shop in the area. It was in the arcade for 13 years. I've personally been in the arcade for 8 years. And probably the changes started happening when Murray sold the building, which would be probably exactly a year ago now. That's when the new owner came in and he started to renovate and make things look quite good. And we knew that his vision probably was more of a Ponsonby vision rather than a Tatty K Road vision. And that's understandable, and we respect the fact that he's a businessman, and we didn't fit into his vision. Probably the way he went about telling us to get out, only giving us 30 days, was a bit shit. But we're lucky that we always had this storage area in Cross Street. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise for us. And in actual fact, since we've moved down to Cross Street, our business has grown a lot more. And we've been able to do things that we weren't able to do up in the arcade. Like, we do costume design now for theatre shows. So for me personally, it's nice to go back to my old roots of theatre.
Yeah.
But join it with clothing. So it's
awesome.
Turned out really good.
So it was that you were kicked out because someone said that it was because he drove the rent prices up.
No, but we never got an option. We simply got an email saying, please remove your fixtures and fittings within 30 days. And he's well within his rights because, you know, everybody at that point was on a month-to-month lease. So well within his rights. We held no grudge, nothing. He did what he was legally entitled to do.
So why was it that the previous owner sold? Was it
Murray? I don't know. That's a really good question. I don't know. Murray was great. He was.
Did you have a
really
good relationship with him?
Great. You know, he'd turn up with a bottle of wine on a Friday night and go, I've got this crazy idea. And he was a really fantastic landlord. I think the problem with the new landlord, maybe, is that this St. Kevin's Arcade was his first retail property. Although I don't know the history of the man, and we never actually officially met him, so I may be talking out of turn here, but yeah. His relationship was with the tenants was completely different to how Murray ran things, where Murray would turn up with a bottle of wine. This guy, we never even met him, and that was after a year. Mm. And yeah, his dealings we weren't used to. 16 people turning up in a business suit looking at your shop.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of quite weird.
Because we saw on Trade Me, he'd posted recently, like this weekend, an ad for more spaces. And in the description is we want more well-heeled people.
And good luck to him. Yeah. Good luck to him. Like, it makes me laugh. Mm. What was probably disappointing for us is we had this great community. We had the vegan shop, we had Metro next door to us. You know, we had a great group of different retail businesses that worked together really well. And for that was the most sad thing when we left, is suddenly our community was gone. The good news is that everybody who was kicked out has found a life elsewhere, naturally you would, and is doing really well.
That's
cool. So nobody is, you know, crying over spilt milk or anything, because we've actually done better. I don't know. It's the problem with K Road and well-heeled shops. There's no parking.
Yeah.
I don't think the infrastructure lends itself well to having Newmarket or Ponsonby type shops up there. And there's still an element of risk/danger with... you know, the bars being around, and it can be dangerous at times, and there are, you know, after a certain time at night it does get quite rough. So there's all of that that's sort of got to be sorted before.
I mean, what do you think about all of the new places up K Road, even up there's that new collective down the road? It's just because a lot of people are using the word gentrification, which I guess is accurate.
It's accurate.
Do you think it's negative?
No, I don't think it's negative. I just feel sad for the loss of community, which I feel has gone.
Right.
So, you know, luckily we still get people coming down here just to hang out and have a cup of tea, and they can do some art if they want. And we've hosted artists in here. That's kind of gone. There doesn't seem to be a hub, per se, which or a collective.
Do you think St. Kevin's Arcade was that?
It definitely was that. And, you know, down the other end it's Coco's. And a lot of people, it was a meeting point. And now it's just a little bit cold and stark. So I don't know, maybe there's a new meeting point, I'm not sure, but lots of people come up down here and hang out. I don't know, I mean, it can't be a bad thing. I don't know if I've got an opinion on it. I've never been to the new collective place, only because I'd go to Coco's first. But then I'm loyal, and
we
so...
love Coco's. Yeah, I was wondering, what's the general sort of like the feel amongst everyone? I mean, you've got people who are still loyal to you.
Of course, and
they
we're lucky.
Come on down. What are people saying? Is it, I mean, I guess it's the same.
Again, I think the vibe is there's a loss of the hub. And here's the thing, we're in the internet age, and, you know, people are on their computers and on their phones all the time, and I think that they miss the one-on-one human interaction. And when you have a shop, you're with a face. And so people come in to talk about whatever, their problems, their mother, whatever. And it's nice to have a shop or someone or a hub where someone can just come and talk, and it's not... on the screen all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that's again what kind of St. Kevin's did. You could just turn up and sit on the table and have a chat. But the beginning of the end was the loss of Alleluia, because Alleluia really was the rock.
Yeah.
And it was the beginning of the end when Peter got bought out. So that's gone. We've got great memories, but there's no way of getting it back.
Do you think Bestie... Bestie's obviously a very, very popular cafe. They do well, do you think? I mean, they have the potential to strive to be something like that.
Well, Bestie is different, though. It's a new clientele. It's different. It's a great business. And it's got its own clientele of people. It's just not Alleluia.
Yeah.
It doesn't attract the artists, the grungy sort of artists. It's a different crowd. And I suppose it's exactly the way St. Kevin's Arcade is going.
I've read something about how a lot of artists are moving out of Auckland because it's just so unaffordable. Do you think that it's just becoming more and more difficult for retailers and small businesses, especially around this area, the central city?
No, but then that's up to us as small business to recognise the change and adapt our business to that change, and that's what makes a smart business person, I suppose. And we've definitely done that. Like, we've introduced the whiskey rack, which is slightly, you know, more expensive, higher clientele type stuff. You know, you're always adapting. And you have to as a small business, because you'll go stagnant. So change is good. But in terms of those artists, every week someone says, I'm moving to Melbourne, I'm moving to London. And I guess that's just a natural part of life as well. If you're young and 20, why not go to Melbourne? Yeah. But Auckland is expensive. It's expensive to live. We should all have our own gardens. Live off the land. Hard. I mean, I don't want to say anything negative, because maybe the change is good. I don't know. I still see all the familiar faces, and I feel happy about that. And we're doing okay down here. So we're actually okay. I think everybody is sort of okay. It's just getting used to the change.
That was this week's Bits. To listen to the full interviews, visit 95bfm.com and check out the BCasts.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/BCasts.